Good evening. And thank you so much for your warm, warm welcome. It's such a joy and a pleasure to be here to speak with you today and to share with you about some of the work that I do with the OMF. Let me pray for us as we begin one more time. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are present here with us as we gather this evening. Please, Lord, we do pray that you will fill this place with your Holy Spirit. Would you dwell amongst us? Would you draw us into a deeper relationship with you? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The year was 1945. And Tokyo, the capital of Japan, had just been laid out in ruins. Millions killed after years of intense fighting, and those who managed to survive were left starving. The atomic bombs in Nagasaki and Hiroshima left the nation in total despair. The nation was in total despair and hopeless. Soon after, though, the Emperor of Japan announced for the first time since the beginning of Japan's existence that he was not a god, as many had thought. The nation was left in total destruction and asking, what next? Where do they go now? The answer was simple: rebuild. What followed next is probably the most inspiring rebuilding effort in the history of time. The government practically mobilized the entire population to rebuild Japan. So great was this rebuilding that in just 20 years, in 1965, Tokyo hosted the 1965 Summer Olympics and opened the first Shinkansen or bullet train. Ladies and gentlemen, this was an extraordinary achievement. Today, Japan is one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world, with the third largest economy behind the US and China. Every aspect of life in this nation runs with precision and efficiency. For example, the average train delay in Japan, who could guess what that is?
10 seconds.
Close, 18 seconds. It's brilliant. My average delay, I'm sure, just going into London Bridge is about 10 minutes, and the whole journey takes about 10 minutes. But the Japanese government had a great vision. And to ensure that that vision was achieved, a great sacrifice had to be made. And it seems no sacrifice was too small. The first words we hear from Jesus as he begins his ministry is, "The kingdom of God is near or is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel." Why is the kingdom of God near? Well, the king has arrived. Salvation and the forgiveness of sins is now possible. The Messiah who came to rescue man and reconcile him to God is here. And this is why the good news of Jesus is such good news. Immediately, though, after, we see him call 12 disciples to himself, whom he makes fishers of men. As we follow the eyewitness accounts through the Gospel of Matthew, we see Jesus go through villages and towns and cities, preaching and teaching the kingdom of God and a message of repentance. We see him heal the sick, the oppressed, casting out demons. What is he doing on earth? What is the Messiah doing on earth? Or what on earth is he doing? Well, as Christians, we know that the Lord and King, our Savior Jesus Christ, is in the business of building his kingdom, an eternal kingdom that will last forever. While the rebuilding of Japan was impressive, let's not deny that, God's building project is much more greater, much more so than Japan. Because it will be a kingdom where God, the creator of the world, will dwell amongst his people, where death, mourning, pain, crying, suffering will be no more. And what great comfort this is, especially in the light of the attacks in Paris this weekend. And this kingdom will be made up of redeemed people from every nation, tribe, languages, all coming together to worship the Lord. In our reading in Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus going about his business, doing the same thing. We see him going through all towns, villages, and as always, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God and healing every single disease and sickness. Can you imagine every single sickness healed? Whatever sickness or illness you can think of, instantly with a word or a touch from Jesus, it is gone. Leprosy, gone. Fever, gone. Cancer, depression, all gone. And notice that no village is too small or too far. Jesus makes the effort to go to every single village and town. Did you notice the all towns in verses 35? No surprise then that Jesus' mighty acts draw crowds to himself. He's the savior. But there's simply too many people. They're harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd in verses 36. The crowds were lost and confused, just like you would imagine sheep without a shepherd to be, scattered with no direction or safety, and so are left vulnerable. As the shepherd, Jesus longs to gather the sheep and bring them into safety, into his kingdom, where they will dwell securely with the shepherd for eternity. But there is a problem. The workers are few. There aren't enough workers to bring in the harvest. But Jesus' solution is a logical one. Well, pray. Ask God, the Lord of the harvest, to send out workers in his harvest field. More workers are needed. While I was working in Japan, in 2012, I met a young lady called Megan. She had come to Japan to help with one of the children's kids program, which is a music program aiming to reach children and parents in Japan, in two cities in Japan. That year, the theme was the God of Hope, because the tsunami had just happened the year before. But this also made it very difficult for them to reach out to children in the northern parts of Japan. And so Meg decided she would return to Japan this past summer in 2015 and lead this team and go back where she was. And this time, as part of the program, the OMF missionaries arranged a homestay for every member of the team. And Megan found herself in a family of non-Christian Japanese family whom she grew to love. And genuinely, she told me she didn't want to leave them. But it was just before she left, she realized that this precious family that she'd grown to love had a much bigger problem. They were separated from God. Stepping outside the door as she left, she saw a city, a street full of people, an entire city, and a nation separated from God. They are a multitude lost without a shepherd, However impressive Japan is, without the gospel, they are lost. Megan is now praying for opportunities to return long-term to Japan. When Hudson Taylor cried out to God on Brighton Beach in 1865 for willful, skillful workers to join him in taking the gospel to the unreached inland provinces of China, he was being obedient to the practical application of Matthew 9:38. Last week, I was at an OMF Mobilizers meeting. We had a home assignment workshop, and the most common prayer request from missionaries returning from the field, do you know what it was? We need more workers on the mission field. Why is this? Well, it seems Jesus' observation still remains. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. OMF, the organization I work for, and particularly in my role as mobilizer, we long to see this prayer answered. We cry out to the Lord of the harvest that he will help us to take the gospel in all its fullness to East Asia's billions. And why to East Asia? Because that's where the biggest multitude of people, unreached peoples, live today. They are a multitude harassed, helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. As part of the London mobilization team, I work to raise up a new generation of missionaries. I work in a team of 5 people, all interesting characters, and we're headed up by a missionary couple called Alan and Litsa McClaymont. We work in all boroughs of London and southeast England. And we truly believe, like Hudson Taylor, that the Great Commission is not an option to be considered. It's a command to be obeyed. And so we mobilize churches and individuals in the whole of London to play their role in building God's kingdom and getting the gospel to the unreached people groups. Well, how do we do this? We mobilize prayer. We mobilize senders, people who will support and pray for missionaries. We mobilize people to go to unreached people groups, whether long-term, short-term, as tent makers, or as missionaries, using every gift that the Lord has given them to reach East Asia's millions, billions. And we mobilize those in London to welcome East Asians in their communities. The nations are now coming to us in London. We mobilize mobilizers through the Bridge Asia program. We're hoping to raise up more people to join our mobilization effort. And we realize that the task is so big, it's almost too challenging for just 5 people to do in a city, especially like London. But the work is not without its challenges. It is rather tough. I specifically work with under 30s. I will work with over 30s as well. So if you ever thought about missions, I wouldn't turn you away. But predominantly, my time is focused on reaching out to those who are under 30. And unfortunately, many of the people I speak to have this attitude that missionary work is for the sort of special forces type Christian, you know, the SAS kind of thing, Christian, and not for them. Careers are put on such a high pedestal. In London, this is a real struggle for Christians. And climbing the career corporate ladder is far more important to them. Not to mention the property ladder. Apparently this is a thing, like it's really important to get onto the property ladder. And a lot of things therefore stand in the way between potential short-term, potential under 30 missionaries and their field of service. And in no particular order, I'll just share with you some of my observations. Family is really important. Many under 30s have become Christians after university. And the last thing their parents, and actually coming from non-Christian backgrounds, and so the last thing their parents would like for them is to give up their careers and go and serve, according to them, a God that might or might not exist in a foreign land. This is a real struggle for under 30s. Will I ever get married? That is the question for under 30s. There's a huge emphasis on getting married and having children. Many think that going on the field or doing missionary work means they'll probably never get married, so they panic and choose not to go. And you might have noticed that under 30s are quite entitled these days, with an attitude of, the world is your oyster. There is so much that they can be doing with their lives. No longer do they have to commit to one career. In a space of 30 years, they can have 5 different careers. And so commitment goes out of the door. Boyfriend and girlfriend. So you are called to the mission field, but your boyfriend or girlfriend is not. Almost always, the relationship takes priority. Let's say the under 30s person is married. They feel called by the Lord to go to inland provinces of China, but their other half is not. Well, in IMF, we would only send a couple if both of them are called to mission in East Asia. Then there's the question of Bible college and theological education. If I had a pound or maybe even a penny for every time under 30s type people come to me and say, Philippa, I'm ready to go, the Lord is calling me, I'm ready, send me. And I tell them, you need at least 2 or 3 years of theological training. What? I didn't know that. They almost expect us to give them a ticket straight out. Yes, go. But no, we need to prepare well, theologically, to work cross-culturally, especially if we're going to be on the field for a long time. But for those who are able and willing to go to theological college, this can be very expensive. And you can imagine, after graduating, you might have student loans to repay. It's not very easy. And then there's the question of supporting churches. While the church is growing, at the same rate it's also not growing in the UK. And some lack the support from their local churches. You can imagine a small church with little resources. It's almost impossible. Not impossible, everything's possible to the Lord, but it's very challenging to send out a family, a young family, to a country like Japan, one of the most expensive cities in the world, or Tokyo, if they choose to go there. Well, I would like to thank you guys for your partnership in this ministry, for your faithful prayers and support. Despite all of these challenges, the Lord is opening up doors and leading us to godly people that we believe the Lord is going to use on his field. I'm currently working with 5 individuals with a desire to serve in 4 different nations in East Asia. 3 individuals who are hoping to serve in the UK and through the diaspora ministries. And for some of these people, their journey would be a long one. The average time from starting to think about mission, Bible college, all of that stuff, is about 10 years. It's a long time. It's a real journey. But the Lord is preparing some of these people and using them here and now. Well, this is a small number, but I take great encouragement that even Jesus started with just 12 men, and here we are today, Christians, 2,000 years later. We are really seeing a number of people obeying the Great Commission and holding on to the promises of God. And as we walk with them, we're seeing them slowly but surely taking steps of faith and trusting the Lord. But please, 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 pray for more. Implore him. The harvest in East Asia is plentiful, but the workers are so few. Like the original disciples, I'm going to call them the original disciples, Jesus calls us to be fishers of men. You and I are his tool, the instrument he chooses to build his kingdom. Did you know that? If you're a Christian, a follower of Jesus, he wants to use you to build his kingdom, his new nation. And as you read those famous words in the Great Commission, have the assurance that he is indeed speaking to you and I. Let me pray for us as I close. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. We praise you, Lord, that all the nations are yours, that the whole earth is full of your goodness and your glory. We thank you for the privilege of this chance of laboring for your sake. And we pray, Lord, that you will continue to build your kingdom. And we know that without you, Lord, we do really labor in vain. And as Jesus asks us to do, Lord, we pray to you as the Lord of the harvest, that you will send out more workers in your harvest field. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.